All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws.
That's from Section 1 of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, ratified July 9, 1868, 150 years ago today. The 14th Amendment made all people born on U.S. soil citizens, including former slaves. With the signing of the 14th Amendment, all at once the country had 4.5 million new American citizens. But it was a long time in the making.
Rather than a story of Congress, lawmakers, and courts, the story of the 14th Amendment is a story of African-American activism.
Martha S. Jones is the Society of Black Alumni Presidential Professor at Johns Hopkins University and author of the new book, Birthright Citizens, A History of Race and Rights in Antebellum America.
150 years ago, slavery had been abolished. Over 4 million people are now free. But there's an open question about what their relationship is to the nation, to the Constitution, and to the body politic, and the 14th Amendment tries to answer that question.
Why weren't those things addressed? Why didn't slavery, when slavery was abolished, automatically give black slaves the right to citizenship?
Well, there's no question that one of the legacies of slavery is racism. And there is an open question in the United States about the degree to which former slaves have the quote-unquote capacity, quote-unquote the intelligence, the ability to actually be part of the everyday deliberations of the state and of government. So the 14th Amendment comes to us as a way of answering that question.
And doesn't this, I mean, I'm sure many things in American history are obviously confusing or confounding, but I just keep thinking about the phrase, all men are created equal, and yet it took a 14th Amendment to really establish that they were also citizens.
Yes, and part of my point of view is that this is part of a longer story of African-American claims making on the nation that long precedes the period of the 14th Amendment. Even from the moment of the Constitution's adoption in 1787, African Americans are already pressing on this notion of equality, already claiming for this status as citizens. So part of what you're seeing in 1868 is not simply a brief moment, but the culmination of many, many decades of black activism.
Why is this a day or this amendment? Why have we not understood it better? And why do you think we don't celebrate this?
I think that there are parts of the 14th Amendment that we have for a long time taken for granted. For example, birthright citizenship is a principle that many, many Americans benefit from, derive their citizenship from, but it's a sort of silent conferral of citizenship rather than an active conferral of citizenship. And so I think it gets overlooked. I think more commonly familiar to Americans is the Equal Protection Clause, which continues to be the subject of much debate. But my view today, sitting in 2018, is that it turns out we need to think hard about birthright citizenship as well, because in our own moment, there are those who are calling for the repeal of the 14th Amendment, particularly its birthright citizenship provision. And so it's a moment today, the anniversary of the amendment is a moment to recall the circumstances out of which it emerged.
Let's fast forward to today. It's the 150th anniversary. Does this amendment still hold up?
Yeah, I would say there are two points of view. One is the view that suggests that birthright citizenship is too broad a way to determine citizenship, that we've opened the door too wide, if you will, is the metaphor.
Have we?
And, well, I would say no, frankly, because I think that part of what going back and looking at the history of the African-American experience in the 19th century tells us is that the amendment was really looking to provide a foundation by which former slaves could fully actualize their economic lives, their political lives, but also their familial lives. One of the things we know about the history of slavery is that it had been profoundly disruptive, in fact, violent when it came to the family lives of African Americans. So when I think about that story and then I fast forward to our own moment, what I am aware of is that today, if the 14th Amendment is inadequate, and the birthright citizenship is inadequate, it's inadequate because it is not honoring the fundamental values around family, particularly the families of immigrants, mixed families of immigrants in this country. And so I do think the amendment needs rethinking, not to put in place a more narrow approach to citizenship, but to put in place an approach to citizenship that continues to honor the integrity of families going forward in this country.
A couple of years ago, there were lots of concerns about the quote-unquote anchor babies coming into the United States. Was that one of the initial, I guess, concerns that led people to, perhaps conservatives, to want to retool the 14th Amendment?
I think that's right. And we've seen that sort of dramatically illustrated for us in the circumstances of mixed status families now, as we watch parents being separated from children by way of deportation proceedings. And that is, in a sense, the 14th Amendment at work, right? Protecting the citizenship rights of those children born in the United States to remain in the United States, to have a claim to residence here. And at the same time, the amendment somewhat violently distinguishing between those children and their parents and exiling their parents, deporting their parents from the country.
How does the 14th Amendment also play out with the population known as Dreamers, those who were born here or who were brought here very young and whose parents are not citizens, but they themselves really had no choice? Does it impact those folks also?
It doesn't. And I think we could say that's one of the shortcomings. The origins of the 14th Amendment were in the acknowledgement that African Americans, former slaves, first and foremost, had not come to this country voluntarily. Once they had been essential elements in the prosperity of the nation, workers. And then as free people, building communities, building cities, really a fundamental part of the fabric of the nation. So if the 14th Amendment was meant to affirm, right, that those things are part of what then entitles one to citizenship in constitutional terms, I think that the case of the Dreamers is a powerful analogy, one that at least should lead us to be asking, how is it that we are going to expand the terms of citizenship such that people who have come here not voluntarily have been productive, prosperous, vital dimensions of our society? How do we fully incorporate them? And the 14th Amendment doesn't quite do that.
Martha S. Jones is a professor of history at Johns Hopkins University and author of the new book, Birthright Citizens, A History of Race and Rights in Antebellum America. Martha, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.